Coming up on today's episode of the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast.
Yeah. So what happened is, I was supposed to stay for 4 months. I'll tell you a little bit about that. Obviously, I'm still here, 19 years later.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting a job in Philadelphia with one of the most famous chefs back in the days, Georges Perrier. We used to own the Big Fin.
So it wasn't Raphael Perrier.
It was.
Well, your French guys all know.
Yeah,
French mafia.
You talk about French mafia.
The Philadelphia French invasion of St. Pete.
That's correct.
Coming to you from St. Petersburg, Florida, you're listening to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast, the show that's the authority on where to eat in St. Pete. Here are your hosts, Kevin Godby and Lori Brown.
Hi, I'm Kevin Godby.
And I'm Lori Brown. Thank you for tuning in today.
Welcome to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast, the podcast that's it when it comes to restaurants and food information in St. Pete.
And be sure to check out our website, stpetersburgfoodies.com. There you'll find great information, including restaurant reviews, the largest St. Pete happy hour list ever created and kept updated, and information on the newest restaurants in town. We are locals that live in downtown St. Pete, and we've been eating our way through this town for years, so you don't have to, but you should.
We have a new episode every Tuesday. Just hit the subscribe button and new episodes will automatically download, and then you can listen to them anytime you want, like on your morning jog or commute to work.
On today's show, our featured guests are two of the owners of Bacchus St. Pete, Christoph Guillot, along with managing partner Chad Dropick.
Both of these guys have traveled the world, been in the military, and worked at several restaurants before opening their new European gourmet market and eatery in downtown St. Pete.
Also joining us is local musical artist Rebecca Pulley, and we will feature her song titled Whiskey.
We have a great show, so stick around. How many times have you heard a restaurant say that they have healthy food that actually tastes great? I've heard it a lot, but unfortunately, it's usually one or the other and not both. Until the brass bowl came around.
Right.
Their food actually is healthy and tastes so darn delicious.
So good. They use organic ingredients and responsibly sourced seafood. Brass Bowl offers gluten-free, vegan, and carnivorous options. There truly is something for everyone. You will find imaginative flatbreads, bowls, and tasty, delicious small plates. With options like fresh roasted seasonal veggies, 24-hour sous vide hanger steak, house-smoked salmon, and free-range chicken breast.
And up front, they have a cold-pressed juice station and separate menu with juice bowls and elixir shots. It's like two open kitchens in one.
Brass Bowl Kitchen and Juicery is really on the cutting edge of the fast, casual culture that is enjoying so much fame these days. Go get bowled over by Brass Bowl.
Brass Bowl Kitchen and Juicery is located at 656 Central Avenue in downtown St. Pete, and you can check them out on the web at brassbowlkitchen.com.
Girlfriend, have you heard of Club Savor?
What?
It's like the coolest new club. You basically go out to restaurants, there's a huge list in the Pinellas area, and you can save like 50%, half off, on food, drinks. We're talking booze too. It's the real deal. No, I'm for real. It's delicious. And if you eat out anyways all the time with all the new cool restaurants, you might as well save a lot of money and have a good old time. All you gotta do is go to clubsavor.com. Check it out. Explore more, savor more. Bon appetit more.
Club Savor members get half off their entrees for themselves and one guest, and half off one adult beverage at over 50 of the Bay Area's leading eateries and drinkeries. Use our custom referral code, St. Pete Foodies, at clubsavor.com.
Thank you for listening to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast. I'm Kevin Godby. My co-host is Lori Brown, and today our guests are from one of the fairly new places in downtown St. Pete, Bacchus St. Pete. We have Christoph Guillot, the co-owner of Bacchus St. Pete, and Chad Dropick, the GM. Welcome to the show,
and
guys.
Managing partner.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's not Dropkick, although you are called that in the Army.
Yes, many a time.
So, Christophe, you are from the coast of southeastern France,
That's
I
correct.
Understand. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God for Facebook. Makes research easy.
He did.
Thanks for filling out all that info. So, how long were you in France before you came? Did you grow up there?
Yes. I grew up in the southeast of France. It's a town called La Seyne-sur-Mer. Mm-hmm. It's very close to the biggest town is Toulon. The reason why I grew up there is my father was in the Navy. So there's two big Navy ports in France, one being in Brittany, called Brest. That's where I'm from, I'm mm-hmm. born. And then we move down the south where the second Navy port is Toulon. Mm-hmm. So that's where I grew up. I grew up there until I was 97, so 21 years old.
Okay. Yeah, so you did grow up there, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the impetus for you coming to the U.S.?
Shortly and very briefly, I left my house in 97. I did the army, Shad. We had to do it. It's mandatory in France. I did my army in the mountains in Grenoble. It was 1 year mandatory. After the army, I left for England because I wanted to learn English. Mm-hmm. I live in two small towns in England. I'm not, when I say where I'm from in England, to the English people say, I can't believe you live there. But the first town was Barrow-in-Furness. It's in Cumbria. Nobody knows where it is.
Cumbria sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's all the way up north. It was, believe me, I was the only Frenchman there. I lived there for 6 months and I moved to Preston, which is a little bit bigger, close to Manchester. Mm-hmm. And then I lived there for a year and a half. That's when I played rugby there for a little bit, and then I went back to college in restaurant management. Mm-hmm. After a year and a half there, they sent me 4 months in Cape May, New Jersey, mm-hmm. for the exchange. That's why I ended up in America. So my first job was Cape May, New Jersey in July 2000.
Now, why did you go to Cape May?
Because the restaurant school where I was in Preston.
He did an exchange.
I did an exchange.
Oh, okay.
They sent me there for 4 months.
Okay.
Nice.
And where did you work there?
It's called the Chalfont Hotel.
Okay.
It's a very Victorian style, hotel. Mm-hmm. I was a server there.
And what year was that?
In July 2000, I arrived.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's Cape May, for anybody that doesn't know. I'm from Jersey.
There
exit 9, though. Cape May is like exit 1.
Yes.
It's the very
so all the
tip,
way down.
The very,
oh, South
very
Jersey.
Bottom, very yeah, tip yeah, of yeah. New Jersey.
Mm. South Jersey is beautiful.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how you eventually then worked your way to Philadelphia?
That's correct. Yeah. So what happened is, I was supposed to stay for 4 months. I'll tell you a little bit about that. Obviously, I'm still here, 19 years later.
Yeah. Right.
So I worked there, and I start serving table. And, in Cape May, in the summer, everybody is from New York or Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So most of the people, I was serving there, they're like, hey, you should, pretty good server, you seem to like what you're doing. Why don't you try to get a job either in New York or Philly? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the summer, that's what I did. I took a few days off and I went to New York and I went to Philly. I just visited and I ended up getting a job in Philadelphia with one of the most famous chefs back in the days, George Perrier. Owns the, we used to own the Big Fin.
So it wasn't Raphael Perrier.
It was. I did meet Raphael Perrier back then too.
Did you meet him in Philly?
Of course, yeah.
Because
we're friends.
Because he was in Philly. Back
yeah,
then, yeah,
yeah. We all know each other, since.
Well, you French guys all know each other.
Yeah, we're on
French mafia.
You're talking French mafia. You're talking about Raphael. I know Raphael and Sarah before Kawa was open because Raphael came in 2005, I believe, in St. Pete.
Right.
And we're all friends since 2000, all of us. You're talking about, Jeremy is my best friend, the chef at Cassis. Mm-hmm. He was my best man at my two wedding. Mm-hmm. Long story short, and then Reno, of course, we met him here from Trist,
right?
Mm-hmm. And Raphael, so
right. So you worked at Trist for a little while.
That's where we met,
yeah. Too,
yeah. Yeah, that's where
correct.
We met, yeah.
And then and Cassis.
Well, I came, after Cape May, New Jersey, I moved to Philly, obviously, mm-hmm. and I worked for George Perrier for 10 years. And then the reason why I came in St. Pete in 2010 is to open Cassis.
Ah,
okay.
Because Chef Jeremy mm-hmm. Duclos was, part of the team who created Cassis with Philippe.
Right. So how did
main owner?
How did he find you, or you find him?
Well, I used to work, we all used to work together for Georges Perrier, who was chef.
Oh, okay. So Jeremy was in Philly also.
Yes. Okay. Jeremy worked for Chef Perrier for many, many years too. Yeah,
we all used to. The Philadelphia French invasion of St. Pete.
That's correct. So
that's funny.
The Philadelphia French mafia went and came in, you know, St. Pete French mafia now. So yeah, we all know each other, mostly all of us from early 2000, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we've been friends since.
Yeah, so you came to St. Pete in 2010.
2010, yeah.
To open Cassis.
Yeah, worked there for many years. Uh-huh. That's what we Shad worked there too with us.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I left for a little bit, and then I went to work at Trist.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Took a little break, and that's where I met you guys.
Uh-huh.
And then after Trist, I took a year off.
Uh-huh.
Stay home, dad, uh-huh, taking care of my last daughter, the 3-year-old Eva. Uh-huh. You can see right there.
Yes.
And after that, my wife was like, you need to go back to work.
She wanted you out of the house.
I'm like, no, I'm actually enjoying that, you know. Stay with dad, you know, you cook, you clean. I was happy. Good time, you know, spend time with my daughter. And then, same back in the days too, when I was working at Trist, that's where I met Philippe, the business partner that.
Not to be confused with Philippe of
correct.
Cassis. Yes.
A lot of people are confused because it's Philippe and Philippe. So right. Philippe, our business partner, the creator of Bacchus, that's where we met at Trist. And then, you know, we become very, very, very good friends, obviously. And then I went back to work at Cassis for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, we were doing the Bacchus, we're creating Bacchus.
Mm-hmm.
We started to create Bacchus June 1st, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we got together with Philippe, and they said, let's do this, you know. And then we got the key June sorry, I should have done that. We got the keys June 1st, and then that was it. And then we get at it, and we open January 9th. So, you know, we did work really, really hard.
It was fun watching the progress.
Yeah. You guys saw the before and during and after. Yeah.
And that's actually quick compared to some other places.
Yeah. It really
Well, you know, it's my basically first business, you know, I don't know how to say that.
Self-employed.
Self. So, you know, I learned a lot, like you say.
Yeah.
You know, permit, license, dealing with contractors and
jumping through the hoops.
The fun part.
Yeah.
It's fun, but it's a challenge. And the fact that we were able to do it in that, you know, time, like about over 6 months, is it's pretty good.
It's impressive.
It is.
I think it's pretty impressive, yeah.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't know, if you know where Cassis is, Bacchus is right around the corner.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about Bacchus.
Of course.
On the second half.
After the break, but let's learn a little bit about you, Chad.
Yeah, when did you join the team?
So I've known Christophe for quite a while.
Right.
And as I said, when the French mafia came down, I worked at Cassis for probably 3 years. I came on board in 2012 to 2015.
You look very familiar. I know I've seen you before.
Yeah, so I was their AGM there for a long time, and I know Christophe has played the whole gamut of roles there.
He was
the GM at one point, the bar manager, but, you know, formed a very fast friendship and learned infinite amount from Jeremy. So I left in 2015. I was in the Army for a long time, and I used my GI Bill to go back to school. So I went to the University of Tampa here and got a degree in entrepreneurship, mm-hmm, and it was kind of serendipitous when I finished knowing that Christophe had this set to open. And I said, hey, I'd love to come on board with the pure intention of just helping to open to then step away. But Bacchus, it's a special place. I got roped in and then I joined the team with Philippe and Christophe, and they've been humble enough to let me come on board and kind of join in and actually put some skin in the game. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, Shad, you just called me 3 days before we open, right? So I'm looking for staff. You know, when you open a business, is the two main things you always concern is your staff, obviously, you know, to make sure that you're ready. And I was lucky enough that he called me, of course. So I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's
come on in.
So
I'm
intrigued about I had no idea that they had a degree in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I thought that was just something that you did and like learned the hard way.
It's true. Yeah, that's actually a newer program. And University of Tampa was beautiful, and there's no way I could have ever gone without the GI Bill. I mean, no way. It's a very expensive.
My ex-husband is the cross-country coach there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. I mean, but yeah, so this is kind of a newer concept, and actually had several really rewarding, really just classes that prepared me for taking on this role.
So if there were one or two things that were the most important thing that you learned about entrepreneurship, what would that be?
So I read several books, obviously, but there's only one that truly resonated with me. It was called The Lean Startup, and it was about being a business owner and being extremely present, at least in the first year, regardless of what kind of concept that you want going forward, but just having that presence and trying to do as much as you can on your own, and also instilling that lead by example. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Christoph and I are here, more times than not, you know, we're in the back doing dishes, we're doing anything that we're required to do for the business. And we're also setting that tone to say, you know, we're here to make it successful. Yeah. As much as part of that business owner role is interacting with the guests, it's just, you know, setting a tone for the staff and just really trying to be a lead by example. And I think I take a lot of that from the Army. I think Christoph, too, we kind of connected on that point. So I've had some great leaders. I've had some, you know, not so great leaders. So that's kind of something that I want to foster in myself so that the staff has a good quality of life. And they're, you know, that resonates out to the guests as well.
Of course.
Yeah, I strongly believe in lead by example.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, I think it's one of the main strength that you have if you want to be a leader, for sure.
That's right. True.
And where are you from? What's your background?
So I'm from Upper Michigan originally. I'm a Youper. So I left when I was also 21, and I went in. I was a paratrooper in the Army. I was deployed to Baghdad for 13 months. And all told, like, super great experience for me. Like, learned a lot, grew a lot as a person. Came out and immediately hit the ground running working at Cassis. But I knew if I didn't go back to school now, I was 26 at the time when I went back,
right,
I just wasn't going to do it. I had to. That was the it's going to come across wrong, the lie I told myself of why I was going in. Like, oh, I'm doing this for school, I'm going in.
Yeah.
So actually bringing that to fruition, and I called Christoph 3 days before we opened Bacchus, but I'd graduated maybe a week prior.
That's great.
And I was just ready. I was just ready to do something again. St. Pete is where I wanted to be. I have a house here in Allendale Terrace. And yeah, I've wanted to be in St. Pete. This is where I kind of want to grow a life. But no, I've done a lot of traveling with and outside of the Army. Big goal of mine is to hit all seven continents. So I've done 4 thus far. And yeah, I just want to foster a life here and want to, you know, continue in this industry. And yeah, like you said, the entrepreneurship degree, it's kind of unique, but to put that immediately to work right after coming out, it's
pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's been
rewarding. Well, now I'm intrigued. You have to tell us which continents you've been to.
So I've been to Asia. I say Asia because I was in the Middle East. I backpacked through Europe. My mom was livid. I was on R&R, and she was ready for me to, you know, come home to see the family. I'm like, well, Mom, I'm already on this side of the world.
I've been there to Europe too.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So I went to, we were in Frankfurt, Nuremberg, Munich, Amsterdam, Spain, took a train along the Mediterranean from Valencia to Barcelona, Switzerland, and then just right back over. And then I went to Machu Picchu a couple summers ago with my girlfriend at the time. And yeah, so I've done a lot of North America, being from Upper Michigan, you know, Canada's right there.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying. My next step is Japan, Australia, New Zealand. That's the next
cool. Right. Well, at first I was jealous of the entrepreneurship degree.
Yeah. Now we're jealous. Yeah, Australia, New Zealand is my bucket list too.
Just really,
And it's actually just this year that I learned. I had no idea that the state of Michigan actually had contributed something to culinary, hot dogs and pizza.
Came from Michigan.
There are Coney. Oh. There are, well, maybe it's Detroit. There's Coney Island hot dogs, and everybody thinks of Coney Island in New York.
Sure,
but there's Coney Island dogs from Detroit or Michigan. And then we just recently published top 10 pizzas in St. Pete, and somebody commented, "What? No Michigan style pizza?" I'm like, "Okay, I still have stuff to learn."
We've heard a lot about this, about Michigan pizza.
There's like a Detroit style. I would have never known if I didn't see some kind of, you know, it was like a Food Network type show, something like that. That's like a Detroit style pizza. I'm like, I've never seen that in my life.
Okay, so I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. I'm learning
every day. Every day.
I haven't been to Detroit yet.
Yes. You've never been to Detroit?
No, not yet.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to get into some of the delicious details of Bacchus.
Sure.
We will be right back. I love soup, and I'm always in search of a great soup. Ramen is just so complex and delicious with layers of complex flavors in its broth. Buya Ramen is one of my favorite places in downtown St. Pete, so much so that I recently included them on my top 5 Asian noodle soups list for their pork belly ramen. Now, Buya's success is not just about the ramen. It's a hip, upbeat environment meant for unwinding and socializing with house-crafted cocktails, a large selection of Japanese whiskey, and izakaya, too. Those are small plates of different types of appetizers that are delicious, as well as the ramen. The ambiance of the place, along with the friendliness of the owners and staff, really adds to the character and charm of Buya. And to add to its coolness, the owners are actually opening up 4 more stores, one in Miami, and 3 in Berlin, of all places. Yes, Berlin, Germany. How cool is that?
Buya Ramen is located at 911 Central Avenue in downtown St. Pete and is open 7 days a week at 11 a.m. Do ya, Buya?
We are back with the St. Petersburg Foodies podcast with Christopher Gio and Chad Dropic from Bacchus, St. Pete. And Bacchus is a European, French-inspired market with all kinds of stuff you can buy to take home, but also stuff you can buy and enjoy on premise.
That's correct.
Yeah. So there's things like wine, beer, sodas, fresh bread, charcuterie, soups, salads, sandwiches, cheese boards, pâté, foie gras.
Sardine.
And I like all that stuff.
Yes. Very South European, so, Spanish, French, Italian influence, for sure.
So what was your inspiration for Bacchus? What gave you the idea?
The idea of the... Let's start with a name. We were in my backyard with Philippe, and we were looking for a name. So we didn't want to be, you know, obviously too French, too Spanish, or too Italian. And so we had to, you know, to be creative. And we just came up with the name Bacchus. Is the main reason is when I grew up, my father, every time he drinks wine, he always cheers to, hey, to Bacchus.
That's great.
To Bacchus. So I knew since it is the god of wine.
Yes.
So I knew from a very young age that Bacchus was the god of wine. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a name and we liked it. It's a strong name.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's Bacchus it is. And
the
went
Greek
with that.
God of wine or the Roman? Greek?
It's
Dionysus Greek, is the... The other side of that.
The other side.
Yeah. Bacchus and Dionysus.
Right.
But it's Bacchus and it's, I think it, I like it. I think.
It's better than Dionysus.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
It's fitting though.
Somebody mentioned to me that the fact there is 2 C's in it make it stronger. There's a...
I'm confused. But
yeah. I don't know. Like it's just...
Makes the name stronger?
Intonation or the you know?
I mean, I just know the premise of like a strong name. Like somebody's like, I'm gonna name my son
like
William. Strong, strong. I was like, okay, I don't understand.
Right.
But go on.
Like Bacchus.
Bacchus.
Yes.
So you guys were emphasizing a lot cheese and charcuterie and wine. Also some nice sandwiches, but now you are also doing brunch.
Yes.
Which is, in downtown St. Pete, it's a brunch kind of town.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember when we started brunch at Cassis, it was a success right away. And it's probably still one of the main places where people go for it.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
totally
incredible.
Yeah, but
yeah,
now...
It's one of my favorite brunches.
Everybody listening, you now have a new place to check out for brunch.
Please.
So please.
Do so.
So is it Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday will start 9 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've noticed too, you know, a while back, it was like 11 a.m. was your typical opening time, even on brunch days. And then I noticed a few places, they do 10. I always loved Cassis because they open at 8.
And, was, you know, great,
and
yeah.
I'm a little older. I wake up early. Even if I go to bed late, I wake up early and I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, I know I can go to Cassis at 8.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But 9 o'clock's a great time, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
we used to open at 10 at Cassis back in the days.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah. It's 8 now, like you say. And it gets busy, too.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, everybody.
That's better. Yeah. Yeah. No, but if I have people come in town and they're like, where's the spot to go? I mean, Cassis is great anytime, but I'm like, if you want one place specifically for brunch, Cassis. And now I have to say
Bacchus. And it's Bacchus, so right next to it.
Yeah.
Here we go. Over my we'll be ready. Come on up. Come and see us.
So what will you be, what's on the menu?
So, I mean, it's just impressive what our chef can do. Yes. We're very limited in our kitchen. And this is something that a lot of people say. We're, we are a restaurant. We're a market. We're kind of a really hybrid concept. Mm-hmm. But some of the things he's doing a hash brown basket. So it's a complete like cup made out of hash browns. It's lightly grilled. And then he'll chop up some peppers in there, onions, cheese, puts an egg in there, serves it with a beautiful little salad. We have some smoked salmon frittatas coming. There's just the inventive nature. Our chef's name's Kenny Bender, so his family's very local here, and it's
I want that hash brown thing right now.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I tried it. Oh, I tried all the mistakes, so. So it's just going to be something. And the other thing that we want to do is fill a niche that we don't want to do anything that would be redundant to like Cassis, to Bella Brava, because we want individuals to come there
different
specifically for that. So you're going to see a lot of egg dishes, a lot of frittata. This he calls it the hash brown nest. That's something for me that I just really think is going to be a winner.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Sounds like something I just want to shove the whole thing in my
face. Gosh, yeah, it's just it's beautiful too. I was like, how do you do this? How did you make the basket out of hash browns? It's so perfect.
Yeah, he came up, Chef. Yeah, Chef, it's nice that we mentioned he's been with us since the beginning. Chef Kenny Bender. He's from St. Pete. He's been fantastic so far.
Where was he before?
He's originally from here, and then he was in Ohio. When we got him.
In Hawaii?
Ohio, sorry.
Oh.
O-H-I-O, Ohio.
Ohio, gotcha.
He was working there.
Pardon his French.
So excuse my French. Hawaii, Ohio. I'm learning. 19 years later.
He learned English in England, Britain, so that's he's correct. Got the French-English accent. That's correct.
There's one word he used to say for years that it took me forever. Yes. He says southern, but he says thousand.
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 Thousand. Thousand.
For 3 years, I know. No idea what he's saying. That's not a joke.
Yeah, you have to understand. Yeah, you have to understand. TH is very difficult for French people.
I was like, is the company's name
TH? It's not Southern.
Southern. Southern.
So, so we got him from Ohio.
Ohio.
We got him. He was working over there, and he came for Thanksgiving because his family is from here. So we met him.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Oh, you see?
Yeah. All right, I'll stop now.
It's too easy. That's too easy. I can't help myself.
No, he was working with a friend's business, right? He was trying to start up, and it kind of, I don't know if it was mismanaged, but something, it was falling through. So I knew he came down for Thanksgiving, and that's when Chris Hoffman-Philippe approached him through a friend, his brother-in-law. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he, he was not really upset. He really, and most dedicated person I've worked, comparatively, Christoph far more time, Philippe far more time working on the concept of Bacchus, but since Kenny's been in there, it's just he lives it.
Dedication.
Yeah,
that's
it's
awesome.
Amazing. It's incredible. He's got a and he loves it. Yeah. You can see it. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's
great. Been very blessed.
Oh yeah. I like the atmosphere you guys have at Bacchus as well. It's not a big place, but it's not super small.
Right.
It's kind of small, medium.
Sure.
But just feels it feels
good.
Friendly.
Yeah.
It's clean and fresh and new, but at the same time feels homey at the same time.
I think we're talking about the vibe. I think it's a really good, good vibe.
The vibe. There you go.
It's a great vibe.
It's good. I'm picking up good vibration. Good, friendly. People feel very, one of my favorite words, comfortable.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Comfortable.
Did I say it right?
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. Very
and
close.
Some of the tables are partially made from like wine barrels, right?
Right.
That's correct, yes.
Yep. Yep.
And then you have some seating. There's tables, but then there's also like a counter along the window.
Absolutely. Kind of community seating.
Yes. Community seating, but also great people watching outside.
Yes. Phenomenal. The windows, too, are incredible for us. But no, like you said, it's not, you come in there and you just know. And for us, the concept, it's not a turn and burn. Like we, very European style. Like people come in for 2 hours on average.
Mm. Right.
And we enjoy it, too, because we're, there with them. We're enjoying the atmosphere.
And you feel very relaxed.
Yeah. It's like you have one more glass of wine.
And it's a beautiful market around that's around you. That environment's great. And your wine programs, you have to tell people about that because it's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, When we did the wine list, we really tried to have not only wine from Europe, but wine from all over the world.
Like, mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. A little bit. We have wine from Australia, New Zealand, Argentina,
mm-hmm.
And obviously everywhere in Europe, and then of course, you know, USA, you know, in Napa. Ooh, that was me. Sorry. I got excited when I talked about wine.
but when you're there and you're eating in the restaurant, mm-hmm. you can buy a bottle of wine off the shelf market price,
yeah,
not at
correct.
A restaurant price. So it's and you can drink that right there at the table with with your food. So it's great.
You
know, so really reasonable pricing.
Oh my gosh,
yes,
it's true. Comparatively too to everywhere downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always use Silver Oak as an example. We have it for probably $30 cheaper than anywhere else.
Right.
And that's not like a critique against...
No.
It's just how they have to sell it there. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
We just wanted to have people to come, relax, and you know, have a nice glass of wine, and just with a very being affordable.
And at the same time, you can plan your dinner that you're going to cook at home because
that's
you can shop off the shelves. Yeah, that's what we did.
I was going to say, that's actually what we did. We came over and we had lunch, and we placed our order for sandwiches and salads that were awesome. And while they were being made, we're like, hey, let's shop. And we're like, mm-hmm. I want this off the shelf. I want this. I want that. And we planned like a whole dinner. So we ate lunch there and then bought stuff that we brought home and made dinner.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart because you eat first so you don't binge out on the terrible.
Well, we were kind of shopping while we were waiting for the
food. Simultaneously.
Yeah. But I was also creating, I had to create a cheese and charcuterie platter that I was making at home. So I just bought a bunch of that stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a very good selection of cheese and charcuterie. That was mm-hmm. the main goal. But now we're expanding a little bit, and mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that. So obviously brunch starting, and then our menu is not changing because we want to stay in that same direction, mm-hmm. but we're implementing. So we're going to bring some flatbreads, mm-hmm. a couple of flatbreads going to be on the menu.
Nice.
And then we're going to introduce raclette, which is French.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we do at home.
Uh-huh.
It's a little machine that you get, mm-hmm. and then we serve with potatoes, cured meat, charcuterie,
mm-hmm.
some vegetables, and then on the side you have a little raclette cheese,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a mini burner if you want, and
oh,
it's
okay.
individual,
uh-huh.
so you can pick whatever you want, you put it in, and you put the cheese on top,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it in, it's a special machine that
mm-hmm.
we bought.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a individual fun things to do, and it's a full dinner.
Yeah, it's a more substantial meal. It melts the cheese. We actually bought two larger units.
For eight?
Yeah, that will mm-hmm. take a half wheel. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people have seen this on like their Instagrams or just on the internet. Mm-hmm. But it melts that top layer of cheese, and we come by with a knife mm-hmm. and just you know pull it down on it.
It's
just
I've
seen that. Thinking about it right now.
We make some pictures and
yeah,
to be more like, people knows what it is, but
they
need direction, I
and
think.
If they don't, they
you can tell by the look on my face, I'm still a little perplexed.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen it on Facebook, Instagram, there's tons of videos.
Absolutely,
and stuff.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Right. We've been having fun experimenting with
it
in the kitchen.
Really fun.
I'm the best guinea pig eating all of the cheese.
We need the authentic original Bacchus version of that. You guys are open every day from 11 to 11.
That's great.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
11 to 11.
It's starting Saturday and Sunday, we'll be open
nine.
Nine, right. You did say that.
Starting Saturday.
Brand new.
Yes.
Brand new.
Coming in.
So make plans.
Make plans.
And you guys, the actual address is 124 2nd Avenue Northeast in St. Pete, downtown St. Pete. Kind of around the corner from Cassis, maybe kind of across the street from Bella Brava, just to give you an idea of the actual space.
Yeah.
The website is BacchusStPete.com. That's BacchusStPete.com. Christoph and Chad, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much
thank
for
you guys
having
for having us.
Yeah.
We will be right back.
Keep on moving.
One of our favorite places to go eat in St. Pete is Engine Number 9. They've been a staple in downtown St. Pete coming up on 7 years. And they are famous for their unique and tasty burger creations. As a matter of fact, they are on the St. Pete Foodies list of best burgers in St. Pete. They also made the best hot dogs list, the best chilies, and the best wings in St. Pete. Aside from the food, Engine Number 9 is a great sports bar with lots of TVs, beer, and wine. And you can even get a regular old cheeseburger, too, so you can bring your non-adventurous eater friends. Check out Engine Number 9 at the corner of MLK and 1st Avenue North in downtown St. Pete. Their burgers can't be beat.
This is Chris Walker, and you're listening to St. Peter's Bird Foodies Podcast.
Welcome back to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast. Our music segment, which showcases local artists, is brought to you by One Step Media and Kate Reuter. One Step Media provides management, marketing, and booking services to independent artists, and Kate herself is also a singer-songwriter. Our local musical artist today is Rebecca Pulley. Rebecca was raised in a musical household on wheels, aka Winnebago, with her 9 siblings throughout rural Alaska, East Texas, and Washington State. A self-taught guitarist, she gained an ear for music by listening to her father play his rockabilly-style guitar with country greats such as Charlie Ryan, with whom he recorded the original version of Hot Rod Lincoln.
Rebecca also has won 7 Best of the Bay Awards from Creative Loafing. We will feature her song Whiskey after she answers the Fast 5 Foodies questions.
Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. You ready for the Fast 5 Foodies questions?
I am.
Okay.
Do I get to phone a friend?
Sure. If you got one on speed dial, you can get it ready to go. So the first one is, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food? Fresh salmon.
Oh.
I like fresh salmon.
Nice.
Very nice.
Do you like it cooked a certain way? Do you like sashimi or sushi?
I love sushi. I feel like around here, that's the only way you can get it fresh-ish.
Right,
I would hope. But otherwise, I mean, I like it grilled, broiled. Anyway, I grew up in the Northwest, so there was a lot of it up there.
Have you had king salmon?
I have.
I'm asking this question because, I'm not kidding, yesterday I placed an order for Cooper River. Is that right? Is that where the salmon comes from?
I don't know.
In the Northwest.
Maybe.
A website called Crowd Cow. We order Wagyu beef on there, but they have sockeye and king salmon available to order right now.
Nice.
So anyway, I've never had king salmon, but okay. They were saying it's the best. It's like there's a big difference between that and sockeye.
I guess I should know the difference, because I lived in Alaska, so we get fresh salmon like all the time.
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway.
It's okay. You're the first person we've ever quizzed on salmon.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was funny she said that, and I ordered all that salmon. I ordered a ton of it. Okay, so what's your least favorite food?
Least favorite food? Anything, I guess, like heavy and greasy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't enjoy it.
So you don't like fried foods and stuff like that?
It's not necessarily fried food. Maybe like a specifically fried and really heavy. I'm trying to think of an example. Like if you get an onion ring and there's like a ton of breading and it just absorbs all the grease.
Mm-hmm. Right,
that's
right.
To me heavy and I don't like that.
Gotcha. What's your favorite restaurant in St. Pete?
Favorite restaurant in St. Pete is, gosh, it depends on what mood I'm in, but I like... You know what? I really like Casita Taquerita. Is that terrible?
Mm-hmm.
I love those bowls they make.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, they have a lot of fans, Casita Taquerita. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love that.
They have a huge amount of fans.
I left them off a list once and almost had to go into the witness protection program.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's true. True thing. So, do you prefer salt or pepper?
Ooh. Big picture, salt.
Mm-hmm. You like pepper, but salt's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pepper. I like, enjoy the pepper.
And can you cook?
It depends on who you're talking to. Yes and no. The things I can make, I think I make pretty good, but if I try to experiment, it all goes awry. I'm not a good cook.
So you're a good recipe follower.
Yeah, I could follow a recipe, but that's about it.
What's your favorite thing you cook?
Anything in a pot. I like it's everything just goes in one pot together and mm-hmm. it's done. Like a chili. But I also like, I think I make really good pasta sauce because mm-hmm. my boyfriend Robbie's Italian. Like mm-hmm. his parents and grandparents were Italian. So I can make a lot of good Italian foods.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't make a ton of it, but I can do that pretty good.
So. How about meatballs?
Oh, yeah. I can make a good meatball.
How do you make them?
No. Honey, you're really putting her on the spot.
No, it's okay. Probably the simplest thing, just like ground beef, a little bit of ground pork,
mm-hmm.
Some garlic and parsley, a little egg to make it stick together, mm-hmm. and a little bit of like the those flavored breadcrumbs a little uh-huh. bit. Just super simple.
And then do you do them in a pan or the oven or both?
Just because I'm lazy, I'll put them in a baking sheet in the oven. Mm-hmm. But I know they're a little tastier when you fry them. But then I put them in the sauce and let them cook in the sauce.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you love salmon, and you are originally from Anchorage.
Anchorage, Alaska, so I was born. Yeah, I lived all over the place, but that's lived there a long time.
You've toured nationally. You've been a lot of places.
Yeah, I have.
But you live right here in St. Pete, and you have several albums out. How many do you have?
Six or seven?
Yeah.
I've recorded seven, but one of them's not available anywhere. It's the first one I made. It wasn't very good.
And the latest album is The Sea of Everything. Mm-hmm. And you have 12 songs on there.
There are. Yeah. Technically, it's 13, but two of the songs run together into one song. And they're both full, like 3-4 minute songs, but they just made it that way.
12 tracks, 13 songs, really.
Exactly.
And I didn't have time to listen to all 13, but I did listen to several and liked them a lot. Everybody should make note to get the album, The Sea of Everything, or at least here's the songs officially recommended by me. And I am an expert on my own opinion. Central Avenue, the city. Now, is that about St. Pete's Central Avenue?
It definitely is.
Okay, yeah, so everybody has to get that one. The Sea of Everything, the title track, is another favorite of mine. Happiness was another favorite. Nobody's Cool Anymore. I liked that a lot. But the one I picked is titled Whiskey. And I picked it not only because I like whiskey, but I love the bluesy gospel sound.
Yeah, I like that too. I think it really helped that there's a Wurlitzer on it.
Yes, totally. That's what it starts with.
Yeah, a friend of mine, she lives in Orlando, but she's an amazing musician and songwriter. Her name is Beth McKee, and she was in town. And I was like, could you please record a little bit of Wurlitzer?
Nice. That was a great idea.
And it was fantastic. It made the song wonderful.
Totally. And this album is out now. You also, I'm told, you've played probably everywhere around here in Tampa Bay.
I think probably maybe not everywhere, but I'm probably close to it.
Do you have any gigs coming up?
I do. I know there's a big one in August it's going to be a big show with my band at the WMNF Americana Fest in Tampa.
Awesome.
At Skipper Smokehouse. There's a lot of other stuff happening too, which is all on my website.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll put up a link to that on the blog.
I'm always adding to it.
I have to also say for the, maybe there might be a few other musicians listening, it's in the key of A.
It is.
1-4-5 progression, standard blues. Oh, and where we find you online is RebeccaPulley.com. Your website is RebeccaPulley.com. And on Facebook, Facebook.com/ Rebecca Pulley Artist.
And I did not know that. But
yeah, that's okay. You're in charge of making awesome music, and you do a great job of that.
No, I mean, I do the page, but I've never actually looked at the
actual URL.
Yeah, I've never looked at
it. Right. Well, that's what it is. And Rebecca, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you.
And here we are with Rebecca Pulley with the song Whiskey from the Sea of Everything album.
Your whiskey, give me strong as I need to be. Say all these words in my heart, it won't let me sleep, and I stare all night thinking about what tomorrow brings.
We have one comment from last week's show from Eric Jacob. Great podcast today. Liam was really impressive with that song. Yeah, I like that song too. Thanks for commenting, Eric. New items on stpetersburgfoodies.com include, we have a new restaurant announcement, Greenstock, a chef-inspired, fast, casual salad place from the owners of Il Ritorno is coming just two doors down where Kalamazoo Olive Company used to be. We have a new restaurant review of Que Pasa Mexican Cantina. We also have a new top 10 list, the top 10 coffee shops in St. Pete. We also have a huge write-up with tons of pictures with Bacchus's new brunch items that we talked about on this show, and other food items are in there too. Next week on the podcast, we have John Totti of Huepa Cocina de Puerto Rico, and you can email us at info@stpetersburgfoodies.com. You can also find us on Facebook, our St. Petersburg Foodies page. You can message us there if you like. The St. Petersburg Foodies podcast can be found on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Player FM. And we're actually on every podcast app in existence except Pandora, because we wouldn't let them run their own ads. So to them. You can listen to us on your voice-activated home assistant too, by the way. So if you have an Apple HomePod, an Amazon Echo, Google Home, I think those are the only ones out there, you can just tell them to play the St. Petersburg Foodies podcast.
This is Ruthie.
And this is Chef Corey.
From Chill Restaurant and Bar.
And you're listening to
the St. Petersburg Foodies podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks to our guests, Christoph Guillot,
Chad Dropic,
and Rebecca Pulley.
And thanks to our sponsors,
Brass Bowl Kitchen and Juicery,
Club Savor,
Booyah Ramen,
and Engine Number 9. Our announcer is Candice Aviles from Meet the Chef and Channel 10 News, and our intro music is provided by the Chris Walker Band.
We'd like to remind you to check out all the latest restaurant reviews, foodies news, top 10 lists, and updated happy hours on stpetersburgfoodies.com.
If you're listening to us on iTunes or any other podcast app, please give us a rating. And also remember to share the show with your foodie friends.
Until next time,
may your food be hot
and your bubbly cold.
Now look here, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.